Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, December 4th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all enjoyed your Tuesday after a victory Monday. Man, it got cold out of nowhere. I feel like it went from wearing a nice little light jacket to I had to have the big boy jacket on Tuesday. But I guess that means it's football weather. And for this team, they win in the cold, unlike some other fraudulent head coaches, which I debated about on Tuesday with Spike. That will be in your feed soon if you want to hear me, Spike, and Ike yell at each other. Even Fritz really yelled. So we'll put that in the feed if you guys are interested in it. But today is about Wednesday. It is about the beginning of the new work week for the Eagles, and it is about turning the page to the Carolina Panthers. We're going to talk about the Panthers on the other side of the commercial break, but let me tell you, I'm a little more nervous about the game. Not in like the Eagles might lose it way, but 12.5 points is a lot of points. So we will get into the Carolina Panthers on the other side of the break. But first, let's start where we always do, which is the schedule for today, what to keep an eye out for. Nick Sirianni speaks to the media at 12:10. I'm sure we'll be carrying that on WIP. And then, as always, check me out, Blue Sky, Threads, Twitter. I'll have all the tweets, all the important things, and any videos you want to see, Instagram, no big deal to me. So 12:10, Nick Sirianni, 3:05, practice begins. Big practice in the way that we will see who is out there. Is Darius Slay out there? Is Devontae Smith out there? Is Reed Blankenship out there? I don't expect to see Reed. I don't expect to see Dallas Goedert. I do expect to see Slay and Devontae. So keep an eye out for that. At 3:00, that'll be our first indication of who could be out there on Sunday against the Panthers. And then 4:45, locker room opens in the Jalen Hurts press conference. As always, always fun to hear what Jalen has to say and hear what the different players in the locker room have to say. So that is what to keep an eye out for today. The injury report, as we talked about just not even 10 seconds ago. Reed Blankenship still in the concussion protocol as of this recording. My guess, he won't be out there. We will see if Devontae is out there. Darius Slay, I expect to be out of the concussion protocol in time for the game on Sunday. And by the time you're hearing this, we should have maybe a little more indication of what's going to happen with Goddard. But either way, I definitely don't expect him to practice on Wednesday. little bit of news to go over. We didn't talk about this on yesterday's pod because it came out after I recorded it, but the Eagles did release Paris Campbell. A bit of a surprising move. I thought Paris played pretty well against the Ravens. He had a big block on the Saquon touchdown. And you just think about the injuries they're dealing with. Johnny Wilson missed the game. Devontae has now missed 2 games in a row. I expect him to play against the Panthers, but still dealing with a hamstring. AJ's dealt with hamstring issues throughout the season. So bit concerning that they would let Paris Campbell go. I would expect him to come back on the practice squad, and then if they really need him, they can just sign him back to the 53-man roster. He is out of elevation, so they couldn't just promote him. I do think one reason they're doing this is because they're going to need to add either EJ Jenkins or CJ Uzama, to the active roster. Now, if Goddard goes on IR, which, you know, could be a possibility, that would open up a roster spot. I'm a little surprised they want to add 2. I guess you want to have 3 on game day, ideally. But that's my thought about why they cut Paris Campbell. I think Paris Campbell is still going to be a practice on Wednesday. It's just a matter of he'll be on the practice squad as opposed to on the normal roster. And, you know, in theory, they could always add him before Sunday's game if they really, really needed to. They could always, you know, do a little more roster maneuvering. So, because of injuries, there is a chance, and I think a good chance, that we will see Tristan McCollum out at safety this week, along with CJ Gardner-Johnson. That is if Reed Blankenship doesn't play, which I don't expect him to. Tristan McCollum played some snaps earlier this year, had a really good training camp, and if you remember against the Ravens, nearly had an interception. Really nice play by him to get there, be in the right spot, just didn't come down with the ball. But Vic Fangio was asked about Tristan McCollum today, or I should say Tuesday, during his press conference, and here's what Vic had to say about McCollum.
Tristan McCollum, what have you seen behind the scenes that we might not know about him that kind of helped him get in position to make that play on fourth down?
Well, Tristan's a guy that I think has good talent, good ability to play the position. He's young, inexperienced. I believe as he gets more and more reps, he'll be better and better, you know, which is not rocket science. The more you practice, the more you play, the better you get. And I like his movement. I think he can be a good safety.
So I do think it will be McCollum. He's taken a ton of reps in training camp. He's worked, obviously, with the defense all year. He's been here for two years now, including this year. I will be curious to see if they want to give Sidney Brown reps this week and see if they could get him out there. I still think they'll go with Tristan, but one of the reasons they've gone with Tristan and spot duty, like when Reed goes down the middle of the game, is because he has taken more reps with the first team defense. I do think getting Sidney Brown some reps this week is a good chance to get him in practice. I mean, maybe get him prepared for that. Ultimately, Sidney, I think, is more of a long-term part of this team than Tristan McCollum, just because of the draft status. I think Tristan has a ton of talent. I think he could be a good starting safety, but they're going to want to see Sidney Brown out there. So that'll be something. Look, we don't get to watch practice, but it'll be interesting to talk to Sidney and Tristan about the kind of reps they're getting, who's getting what rep, and, you know, potentially if we could see Sidney Brown out there on Sunday against the Panthers. In addition to talking about Tristan McCollum, Vic Fangio was also asked about everybody's favorite Twitter topic. Really, nothing you can tweet about now that will get you more likes than talking about Jalen Carter being held. And that's what Vic was asked about on Tuesday, coming off a Ravens game where, let's be honest, he was held quite a bit. So here is what Vic Fangio had to say about Jalen Carter being held, with a little joke in the middle.
It seems like Jalen's been getting held quite a bit. Is there anything you guys can do to help him get some calls?
I don't know. You got any ideas?
I don't know.
There was one play in particular where he was grossly held and pulled to the ground, and, you know, there was no call. So, yes, and I don't know what we can do about it.
Vic was in a good mood on Tuesday, and understandably so. His defense is playing outstanding. He's coming off probably the best defensive performance of the season, and he's getting help from all over the field. Take out Brandon Graham, put in Jalix Hunt. They're still playing really well. So Vic has to feel really good about that. But in terms of the Jalen Carter being held thing, here's my opinion of it. It's not going to be a popular one. I just truly kind of don't care. Like, he's a great player. Great players get held. He's getting double teamed. He's having a huge impact on the game. Like, you could call holding on every single play. And yes, I know there are egregious times where he is held. And when he's held, it should get called. I just can't get worked up with the whole he's being held every snap thing. He's still having a ton of an impact. Like, other guys are getting single blocked because of him. It is what it is. But I understand. When you watch the videos, it certainly is frustrating to see him get held because, you know, he could be having more of an impact. I can't get worked up about the Jalen Carter being held thing, but I wanted to play it for you guys so you guys could hear what he had to say. In addition to that, like I said, Fangio in a great mood on Tuesday. Was laughing, just, you know, jokes here and there. My guy was just flying off the hip up at the podium. Was asked about Jalix Hunt and had a little Iverson joke in there. So he was asked about Jalix Hunt, how he played, and kind of his development.
Talk to you about Jalix Hunt, if he was ready for those extra reps, and you said, we'll see. You saw, what did you see?
Some good, some not so good. Now he's at the point where he's got to improve and build on that. It's a process. The more you practice, the more you play, you get better, in spite of what Allen Iverson ever said. Okay? So, and some guys, you know, personnel guys around the league, they think, hey, this guy can do it. Just throw him in, you know, and they expect him the finished product. You never have the finished product with a young player until they get enough practice time and playing time.
Man, a shot at my guy, Iverson. Nah, Vic is clearly a Philly guy. In fact, he actually talked about the benefit of, you know, coaching for the Eagles when he grew up a Philly fan. So maybe I'll play that for you guys. I wasn't planning on it, but you know what? I think you guys would appreciate hearing it because it is a cool aspect of this. So here's Vic Fangio talking about the fact that he gets to coach in Philly.
Vic, you just made a Philly reference. Has there been any special satisfaction about having success here this year because you've always had a special affinity for this place?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys know I grew up a Philadelphia big-time sports fan, so that was a big part of my motivation to come back here. And we tried to do it a couple other times throughout the years, but it never timed out right. And yeah, it brings back a little satisfaction.
You know, it is probably something that's not discussed enough. Like, this guy could potentially win the Super Bowl for the team he grew up rooting for. I mean, what a way to end his career. I'm not saying he won't be back next year, but chances are, man, I finally let it yawn. I feel like I've been doing so good for so many episodes. Chances are that this will be the last place he ends up coaching. So it is a cool aspect of it. But back to the Allen Iverson joke and the Jalix Hunt thing. I think it's true. Like, I think Jalix Hunt on Sunday played about as well as you could ask him to play considering the circumstance. Good offensive line, good running team, and his first kind of game where there's like true expectations for him. So, you know, the fact he's even playing, I think, is such a huge bonus for them. And the fact that, you know, he's out there getting big snaps when he really shouldn't have been. So definitely very encouraged by Jalix Hunt's play so far, where he's at. And I think he's going to end up being a really good player for the Eagles. Now, it's going to take time, as Vic Fangio said. I don't think you should expect him to be an impact player right away. But he gets a month worth of reps. He gets a month worth of practice reps. Maybe in the playoffs, this is somebody they can look at to make a big play when they need him. But outside of that, once Vic was done, Kellen Moore spoke about, as he always does, the number one thing with the offense, the slow starts. And here's what Kellen Moore had to say.
To counter what's happened early in games, have you guys thought about not doing scripted?
We've navigated this thing in a lot of different ways. And so we've talked about it. You know, we'll talk about it again this week as far as just trying to find the best way for us to execute because, you know, LA felt like we had a good drive going. End up short in the red zone this past week, obviously, you know, one first down, then kind of got stalled out. And so, you know, it's a frustrating aspect of our thing, and we'll keep working.
I'm not trying to be cute there, too. I understand most coaches will have scripts, but, like, is there more flexibility perhaps you want to build in so that it does counter what a defense may be showing you contrary to what you were thinking?
It's definitely something that we've had a lot of discussions about it, just different ways that we can attack the defense, play to our strengths, you know, kind of focus on us and then make the adjustments as the game goes that we need to make. And so, Yeah, obviously something that, you know, we've started slow, unfortunately, for too many games. And so it's something we got to do a better job of.
So it's funny, the slow start thing is still like a fun talking point that people like to bring up. But obviously when they were 2-2, 3-2, like, you know, season was still kind of on the line. It felt like every week we were all just waiting there to be like, oh, no more points in the first quarter. Oh, there it is. There's the tweet. And I think it is noteworthy. But I think the answer to why they're not scoring in the first quarter is clear. And Landon Dickerson said it on the Players' Lounge. Other players have hinted at it. Sirianni hinted at it at the morning show. They're not scoring in the first quarter because they're getting defensive looks in the first quarter that had not been put on tape before. Now, is that acceptable? Not completely. Like, you still need to go out there and make plays. Like, the reality of the situation is they have to start scoring in some... Well, I shouldn't say have to because they've won 8 in a row. But... They have to be better at moving the ball in the first quarter, because there will eventually be that game, and hopefully it's not, you know, hopefully it's not in the Super Bowl, but where they fall behind, right? And so I think it's something to work on, but I do think the truth is not like Kellen Moore is, maybe it's part of it, like running plays just to get scouted looks, or like they're not prepared through the week. I don't think that's it. I think they're seeing looks that they weren't expecting to see. And I think that's the reason for it. Now, they're going to have to improve. I would rather have the best offense in the league in the second, third, and fourth quarter than an offense that starts off hot and then the other team adjusts to you and you're not able to still move the ball. Like, for as good as the Ravens were in the first quarter, they scored 9 points in the first quarter. They didn't win the game. The Rams moved the ball up and down the field in the first quarter against the Eagles. They didn't win the game. So ultimately, the fact the Eagles can make an adjustment in the second quarter on, I think, is really, really important. And I think it's more of a winning formula. Jumping out early is important, and it can be nice, but dominating for the final three quarters, I think, is way more important. So last thing, or two more things I have for you guys. One, and this is like, I just so cool. Like, this is just really cool part of being part of what I do, but also just being part of the Philly sports scene. So Brandon Graham has surgery on his tricep on Tuesday morning. Hope he's doing well. I'm sure he's going to crush the rehab. And it sounds like surgery did go well, which is awesome to hear. But the cool thing is, so on Tuesday, Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas and Kyle Quinn are talking about whether or not Nick Sirianni is like a great coach, a good coach, or whatever. And Brandon Graham calls in to defend Nick, unprompted, wasn't scheduled to be on the show. And I'm going to play for you guys what Brandon said. So here's what Brandon had to say, calling in unprompted.
Let's go to Brandon in Philadelphia. I think you know this voice. Brandon Graham in Philadelphia. Brandon, how are you?
BG,
what's up?
Hey, he's great.
What's going on? Did you have your surgery this morning?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. How did surgery go?
Hey, man, fresh out the surgery. Just got home, man. Wanted to, you know.
You got that arm in a sling. He be on them good drugs right now, man. Them drugs ain't wore off yet. Hey, he over there feeling good.
You might get the whole truth.
So, okay, with that being said, Brandon, what is it about Coach Sirianni that have you guys playing the way that you're playing for him? What did he do?
You know what? Honestly, you know, he always, what I say about Nick is, you know, he always talk about them details, man, and, like, situational ball. And every year has gotten better. Like, you know, it wasn't perfect in the beginning. He just was, you know, kind of getting them early jitters out. Because I remember when he first did his press conference, what was it, the little sunflower, like, that people used to wear around? Like, he's so farther removed from that. And like you say, all he do is win is because we got his back. And I think, you know, that speaks a big, you know, it's a big testament to him and his staff, you know, Howie and the way they doing things. I mean, the way, you know, everybody's communicating, Jalen included, you know, communicating with the coach, letting them know what he like, what he don't like, and everybody trying to, you know, figure it out together. But I think that Nick has done a great job each and every year of just getting better, policing himself on what he's not good at, because he go off on himself in the meetings and, you know, stuff people don't see, man. I mean, you know how it is, Hugh. It's like, you know, if coaches don't hold themselves accountable and it's all about all the player, and you know, he finding everything.
Yeah, they're going to be looking at him like he crazy.
Yeah.
Start looking at him like he crazy.
You know, and so people don't see that part. They just see some of the decisions that's being made, you know, that's out there. But I trust him. Like, we're going to be aggressive. You know who was aggressive, and we look what happened to us. We won one with Doug. And so, you know, I understand we ain't going to make all of them, but with the trust that we got together as a team, even me being on that sideline this weekend, man, it just felt so good just seeing how we just brainstormed and figured it all out, especially when they was up 9-0. It was just like, all right, y'all, like, calm down. They ain't doing nothing crazy. We just got to, you know, get reel it in. Everybody, we just got to get a stop on defense. That's what we was talking about. And then on the offensive side, it's like we got to make a big play. We got to get a big play to get us going. And, man, I hate that Nick go through a lot stuff, but that's part of it. You know, heavy is the head, the wear the crown. And so I understand that part. But we got his back, man, and I'm so happy that we went on this little spree because now, you know, people were seeing what we already were seeing in practice and it's starting to come together, and it's still coming together.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't think this is a sign of players liking Nick, I don't know what to tell you. Like, Brandon's not forced to do media there. He's not being asked a question he has to come up with a lie for. He is unprompted calling it a WIP, which in and of itself is very cool. Like, Eagles fans, like, that's pretty awesome. You know, like that you guys are part of a sports thing where players just call in to talk about it. But pretty cool he did that, but also just a sign that these guys really are behind Nick. And it's why Jeffrey Lurie brought him back this year. It's why they're able to rebound from bad losses. But yeah, I thought that was a really cool thing. Last up, before we get into the Carolina Panthers, this is just so funny to me. So Adam Schefter is on the Pat McAfee show, and he's asked about the fact, or no, he's just talking about this. I'm not going to play the audio. I'm just going to talk about it. Apparently, Big Dom, yes, the Big Dom, was offered to have a movie made about his life and turned it down. I mean, you want to talk about a come up over the last year. We do the Players Lounge every Monday night at Chickies and Pete's, best chocolate cake in the city. And he like gets asked for as many autographs as like the players. But just imagine a Big Dom movie, how funny that would have been. Like, what do you call a Big Dom movie? Is it just called Big Dom? I feel like maybe that's just what it's called. But it would have been so funny. Like, who plays Big Dom in a movie? This is actually me, something good to ask James when we do the pod. But yeah, just you know, I'd imagine Big Dom's got a lot of offers. It seems like he's not taking many of them. So he's really, because he's really not doing a ton. Like, he's mostly just around doing his job, and that's enough for him to continue to be famous. But yeah, funny story there by Adam Schefter. So, on the other side, we're going to start to talk about the Carolina Panthers. We'll probably take a deeper dive into them later in the week. But I think that this is not a game fans should be taking for granted. So, on the other side, a look at the Carolina Panthers. But first, a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So obviously, when you see the Carolina Panthers on the schedule, at the beginning of the season, you expect it to be a W. As the season goes on, you continue to expect it to be a W. And on Sunday, the Eagles should expect to win. And I think they will win the game. But I don't think this is as easy of a game as people think. One, there is some letdown components to it. Like, I thought the Rams game was a bit of a trap game. They showed up and dominated. So it's very possible they just dominate the Panthers. But they're coming off like a massive win over the Ravens. They have a big game against the Steelers next week. And I think this is a game where you could potentially, if you're the Eagles, you could potentially look at it and go, yeah, we should win this one. I would caution them against that. So, on the year, the Panthers are 3-9. But recently, they are 2-2. After starting 1-7, they are 2-2 in their last four games. They've lost to the Chiefs and the Bucks the last 2 weeks by a combined 6 points. It took the Bucks driving at the end of the game to get a game tying field goal in 30 seconds for them to avoid defeat there. The Panthers could easily be 3-1 in their last four games. And as I said, two of those games have gone to overtime. And against Kansas City, they were tied with Kansas City with 1:46 to play before the Chiefs go down the field to win the game. But they played the Chiefs tough. They played the Bucks tough, two teams that Chiefs obviously will be in the playoffs, and the Bucks are viewed as a playoff caliber type team. The Panthers are playing much better, and it's not just in the win-loss record where they're 2-2. It's that the stats back it up. So the last four games have all been decided by 3 points or less. None of their first eight games were, which is a wild stat. None of their first eight games, they were 1-7, were decided by 3 points or less. They were all decided by 3 points or more. So they've gone from getting blown out consistently to playing really, really good football and close football. They're averaging 23.25 points per game over their last four games. So 23.25 points per game over the last four. Over the first eight games, they average only 15.5 points. So they're averaging 8 points more than they were at the beginning of the season. On defense, they're giving up 23.75 points per game over the last four games. Still not great, but they gave up an average of 33.87 points per game over the first eight. So they've basically gone from 34 points to 24 points. They've cut their defensive average by almost 10 points, and they've improved their offensive average by 8 points. Extremely impressive, right? Especially when you consider it would have been so easy for this team to just quit and give up. Now, how have they done that? Obviously, the defense is playing better, but it really just shows how important the quarterback is. When you're getting good quarterback play, your defense plays better, your offense plays better, the game is closer, and they've gotten better quarterback play now that Bryce Young is back out there. So Bryce Young, first five games, completed 59% of his passes, obviously not great, 523 yards, so just about 100 yards a game passing, obviously not great. Two touchdowns, five interceptions, that's abysmal. Nine rushes for 32 yards, one touchdown, nine sacks, and a quarterback rating of just 59.4. Obviously, he gets benched. Everybody assumes he's a bust. It's career over. He's going to be a backup. Maybe the Eagles should trade for him and bring him to the factory. But he goes back in, and over his last four games, still only completing 59% of his passes. So not a very accurate passer. At least the passing game is not working at a high level. But he has 858 yards. So he's averaging over 200 yards a game over the last four, after averaging just 100 yards a game, roughly, in his first five games. He has four touchdowns, only one interception. So he's completely, basically flipped his touchdown to interception ratio. He's been sacked only five times, so essentially cut the amount of times he's been sacked in half. And he has 12 rushes compared to nine rushes, but those went for 76 yards compared to just 32 yards. Still is a rushing touchdown, and his quarterback rating has jumped from 59.4 to 85.4 over the last four games. So Bryce Young's playing way better. He's become more of a threat with his legs. Still not completing the ball at a high percentage, but completing way more passes and throwing for way more yards. Part of that is he has a good offensive line, which we'll talk about later in the week, we really dive into the matchups. But this Panthers game is not like the pushover game it looked like. The Panthers haven't quit. The Panthers are not already looking towards next year. The Panthers are playing hard and competing, and they're maybe catching teams off guard, and that's why they're able to do it. But no question about it, this Panthers game, I think, is a tougher one than people think. Doesn't mean they should lose it. Doesn't mean it has to be close. But those 12.5 points, it's a worrisome line. Like, now, I guess it would tell you Vegas thinks Eagles will dominate, and they very well could. Like, they could dominate this game. But the Panthers have played way better over the last month. In fact, I think they've played so much better, it's not even worth looking at the first eight games. Like, when you look at their stats, it's misleading. Like, they're 30th in the league in points over the season, but over the last four, they're 17th. They're 32nd in the league in points per game allowed over the whole season, but coincidentally, they're 17th as well in points allowed over the last 4 weeks. So they've been a middle-of-the-road team over the past 4 weeks, and I think that's how the Eagles should view them heading into Sunday. So appreciate you guys all listening. As always, I hope you all have a tremendous Wednesday and enjoy your day. And we will talk later. Me and James are going to be doing a pod. And then if you want, you can hear Spike, Ike, and me yell about a number of different things, including where Sirianni ranks as head coach and whether the Eagles should already be thinking about the Super Bowl. But that'll do it for today's pod. I love you all. He's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.